Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture.
Let's start real general and real focused on you guys. What are some things you actually find pleasant in your life?
Family.
Spending time with your family. Does everybody find that pleasant?
Not everybody.
Depends on your family. Quite a bit, doesn't it? Most Marist students actually enjoy spending time with their family, which is a good thing. What else?
Getting a paycheck.
Getting a paycheck. Getting paid. Yeah, makes sense. I know. When I actually look at my bank statement, I see, like, you know, numbers going up instead of going down, I feel good. When I see them going down, I feel bad. What else?
Finishing an assignment or, like, a test.
Even finishing a test, yeah. I suppose that makes sense, because then you have, like, that sense of something is accomplished, and I don't have to mess around with this anymore. That might actually be more like a removal of a pain than a positive pleasure, depending on how you're doing on it. What else? I hope you give yourself a lot of pleasures day-to-day, yeah.
Eating?
Yeah. Sometimes I hear people complain about the cafeteria, but the food's pretty good over there, actually, for the most part, you know. It's nice to eat. It's nice to be able to choose what you want to eat. I remember when I was in the Army, I was in a little Army base, and there was only one meal for each meal. It was what they made, and you had to eat that. And you could have seconds if you wanted, because some people wouldn't even eat that. They'd usually just make enough for everybody, and if you didn't like what was being served that day, it was too bad. And then we went to this other base where they had all these officers, because it was an aviation base. We had to do a change in command ceremony, and I walked in the mess hall. And at first I didn't know what to do, because there was like a pizza line, and a hamburger line, and a salad line, and this line, and that line. I was like, what do I want? I don't even know what I want to eat. I'm so used to just eating whatever's put in front of me and not complaining about it. It's nice to enjoy options, isn't it? To get to pick what you want to eat. What else? What else do you like? What are you going to do tonight that'll be fun? Yeah.
Alcohol.
Drinking alcohol. Yeah, why do we like alcohol? Because it gives us, you know, that kind of high feeling. And some people like to drink so much they like the out of control feeling that comes with it. After a while, maybe not so much. You know, if you have enough bad experiences. And we like the taste. If you could just, like, shoot yourself up with alcohol, rather than go out to the bar or, you know, get together with some friends over a 12 pack, would you do that? I mean, if all you want out of the alcohol is the sheer kicking in, then I suppose that would make sense. But you like other things about alcohol, right? Getting together with friends. It sort of lubricates social interactions because it loosens our tongues and makes us a little bit less inhibited. Some people like particular drinks, tastes. You know, you can spend a lot of money on wine or on high-end liquor or even beer these days, depending on what sort of taste you want to have. That's something we appreciate. That's a pleasure. What else will you experience tonight? So you're going to eat, some of you are going to drink. What else are you going to do?
Yeah. Listen to music.
Yeah, I think every one of you probably listens to music every day, right? Why do we do it? Because we like it, because it's enjoyable. It's a pleasure. Now, what pains are you guys going to have? And say, let's extend it. Like, what pains have you experienced this week? Some of you are sick. That's no fun, right? The coughing, for example, that's not fun. It hurts after a while. Ribs start hurting. Throat hurts. Some of you may have headaches. What else?
Exhaustion,
yeah. If you're taking a test and you actually can't figure out some of the answers, that doesn't feel good, right? Yeah.
What about stress? Is that considered a pain?
Mm-hmm. Stress is something that gets caused by pain, and it's also something about anticipating. Yeah, college students have to learn how to manage stress, because you guys are under a lot of stress. So are professors. Hey, it doesn't get any better. Unless you're smart, you learn how to manage it. What else? Any other things that you're not looking forward to happening? Yeah, where it happened.
Hangover.
Yeah, well, if you drink too much, then you get hungover. There's ways to get around that, you know, like taking plenty of water, aspirin, B6 or B12. Okay, so let's think about how Bentham deals with this. Bentham says, well, if we want to understand pains and pleasures, look at all the different pains and pleasures we just talked about. Are there ways we can class them? Are there ways we can bring them together under general headings? And he does. He says, there's some pains and pleasures that we perceive through the body. So for instance, you know, when we drink, we like the taste. You know, I like IPA because I like very bitter beers. So I enjoy that taste. Other people, they drink it and that actually causes them a pain. They're like, oh, this tastes awful. I don't want this. I taste other things that people pour and I'm like, oh, that's way too sweet for me. Some people really like sweet. So we have pleasures of the senses and we have pains of the senses. And Bentham actually includes intoxication as a pleasure of the sense. What are some of the pains of the senses that we feel? He talks about hunger and thirst. You get thirsty enough, it hurts, right? You get hungry enough, you start actually feeling hunger pains. What else? Touch. We enjoy touching things quite a bit. Smooth things are kind of nice. Rough things aren't quite so nice. We enjoy the way our clothes fit. That's all about sense. He talks about other pleasures that come from observing one's own activity. And this is kind of an interesting idea. He calls this pleasures of skill and pains of awkwardness. How many of you play a sport of one form or another, even just on the weekends? Okay, so you know that feeling when things are actually coming together, you're not hungover, you're properly hydrated, you actually stretched out, and now you're out there and you're doing really well in whatever it is that you're doing. That's a pleasure of skill. That's not just senses by themselves, it's kind of a mental thing. You know, we're talking about mental and physical, mental and bodily pleasures. Not being able to do things well. That produces a certain kind of pain in us, a certain kind of discomfort. How many of you learned an instrument when you were like K through 12? So you remember first starting out with the instrument? It really sounded awful, make you feel bad. Actually, when you play it, you're like, oh my, I can't believe I'm, this sounds terrible. Violin, for like a year, sounds terrible until you actually figure out what you're doing. Then you actually have pleasures of skill coming from what you're doing. But until then, it's actually causing you pain, and maybe other people pain, too. And what else? Sometimes we derive pleasure by possessing something. Or by, we can have pain by lacking some good thing. So he talks about wealth and power. You know, I mentioned when I see my bank balance going up, I feel good. I don't feel good because the bank balance is something I can eat, or because I'm listening to it, or something like that. It's just a bunch of numbers. But in my mind, I'm thinking, I actually own something. I feel the same thing when I look at my retirement account, and I go, this is totally irrational, because I'm not going to cash my retirement account for decades. But, you know, I look at it, you know, from month to month, and, oh, it went up. Oh, that's so good. I feel good now. And then it goes down because the stock market goes down. Oh, I feel bad. We call that privation, lack of wealth, being disappointed, having your desires not come true. We can often have, you know, if you give somebody something, you can then produce pains. Before, they didn't even know that they needed this thing. Now you take it away and they're like, oh, my life is now incomplete because you took away my carpet or my desk or I don't have this anymore. People feel pain because of that, don't they? What else do we take pleasures and pains in? What about other people? Do we care what they think about us, or how they feel about us, or how they perceive us? I all of you do, right? You talk about parents, you know, not wanting to disappoint them, wanting them to be proud of you. So Bentham talks about a couple different things. He talks about amity. Don't think Amityville Horror with that. That's not connected to it at all. But that's the first association, isn't it, that comes up? Good name, and what he calls piety. And corresponding to these, there are pains of enmity, ill name, and impiety. Now with these, it gets particularly interesting from the utilitarian perspective. Amity is a word for friendship, for people liking you, feeling positively towards you. When people are feeling positively towards you, they are feeling a kind of pleasure in thinking about you. So if you and I are friends, then I derive pleasure from your presence, your company, by even thinking about you, and likewise you do for me. Here's where it gets really interesting. I also derive pleasure from the fact that you feel pleasure in thinking about me. You guys see that? It's sort of a reflexive, two-way relation. If I'm a good teacher, for example, you like me as a teacher, you enjoy my class, You know, what might be a sign of that? I look at the student evaluations. Oh, I really like this class. Now I feel better. If he wrote that evaluation, he's expressing a pleasure on his part, which then I am now taking pleasure in the existence of. So pleasures can build upon each other in an interpersonal way. Likewise, pains of enmity. You don't like me. You let me know you don't like me. How do you let teachers, here, this is kind of an interesting topic, how do you let teachers know you don't like them? Do you ever do that? Besides student evaluations.
Worst teacher ever.
Or venting on ratemyprofessor.com. You ever like do anything? I mean, I used to do things in class because I was a jerk. So to let the professor know that you think they don't know what they're talking about, or they're not teaching very well, or all of your professors are great, or you're really well behaved. You'd never do anything like that. What's that?
Fall asleep.
Yeah, sometimes you fall asleep because you're actually tired. But, I mean, if you, like, deliberately put your head down, start snoring during the middle of somebody's lecture, maybe you're sending them a message. You're no good. And then they feel bad, right? We care about how other people see us. Piety and impiety are basically like that with respect to God. Does God like me? Does he think I'm a good guy? Or does he think I'm a bad guy? Piety is taking pleasure in God liking me. Impiety, taking pain at the fact that God doesn't like me. What about ill name and good name? We care about how people talk about us. We care about the esteem that they hold us in. That's pretty interesting. We're the only creature that cares about that. And we can, sometimes that pleasure, that pain can outweigh all the others. What else? So there's how other people view us. What about other people in another respect? There's what Bentham calls benevolence, and there's what he calls malevolence. What are pleasures of benevolence? When I'm benevolent to you, what do I do? What sort of characteristic behavior do I have? Where do we ever see that word benevolence? That might be a better place to start. We have benevolent societies. The State Troopers Benevolent Society. I'm not sure if New York has one. It might be called something different, but every state has one of those, or Correctional Officers Benevolent Societies. They call you up and say, can you contribute to us? It's to help people who their spouse was a CO or a state trooper, and they died in the line of duty, and we're going to take care of their spouse and their children for a while. Benevolence is being good to somebody, doing good things for them. And if I like making you happy, I am actually taking pleasure myself in the pleasure that you feel. Not pleasure that you feel because you like me, like amity, but pleasure that you feel just because things have gotten better for you, maybe pain has been taken away. Like, let's say I sneak into all of you guys don't live in dorm rooms, most of you, I'm guessing, but, you know, let's say I made this huge project. I sneak into each one of the places where you live at night, and I leave you, like, a care package from not a secret admirer, because that would be kind of weird, your secret benefactor, right? And it's got all sorts of stuff in it that you like. Candy, iTunes gift cards, and what else would you like in it? Maybe I like beef jerky, so there'd be some beef jerky in it. If you're a vegetarian, you can give it to somebody else. Six pack of beer, all sorts of nice things like that. A whole bunch of gift cards, too. I don't know what you guys actually like, and different people like different things. You don't even know it's me. But I take pleasure in the fact that you're going to get enjoyment out of that. That's benevolence. It doesn't matter whether you know that it came from me or you have any positive feelings towards me at all. I'm just happy that you're happy. That's why when we're benevolent, we're doing good things to other people. If we're taking pleasure in that, we're taking pleasure in the fact that we're generating pleasure for other people. So the same thing could generate pleasure twice. I give you a candy bar, or, you know, let's say I bring coffee and donuts to class, right? You guys would probably like that, wouldn't you? Would anybody say, oh, Professor Sadler, he's a jerk. He brings us coffee and donuts. I don't like him. Maybe if I did it on the day I'm giving student evaluations, because then you'd be like, ah, oh, this guy's trying to get one over on us. But let's say I just do it in the middle of the semester. You'd enjoy that. I don't even eat the donut. I get enjoyment out of that donut by the very fact that you're getting enjoyment out of it if I'm the sort of person that takes pleasure in that. What about malevolence? If I hurt you and I feel bad about hurting you, let's say I scrape your car. You park in the Fontaine lot. Well, let's say I go down there and I bump your car, scratch it up a bit. You come out, Dr. Sadler, what are you doing? And I say, oh, sorry, I just got this thing fixed. You know, now I feel bad. And I feel bad because you feel bad. And also because you're shouting at me. But let's say you're not even shouting at me. You're just like, oh, I just got this thing fixed. I can't believe it. You know, my parents are gonna flip, or, you know, pick whatever else you want. You're feeling bad. I feel bad because I did something that hurt you. Sometimes we actually take pleasure in hurting people, though. That's malevolence. Hurt somebody else. Sadism is another word for it. Like, for example, if I say, all right, pop quiz on Venmo. I never did a pop quiz in this class before, but this one's going to happen. It's going to be worth 100 points out of, how many points do we have in this class? Like 600? That would be incredibly unfair, and I'd make it super hard. Pop essay quiz. Write at least 10 pages. Couldn't possibly do it, right? Why would I do something like that? Because I like hurting people. I like making students feel bad. I want to show you that, you know, you just don't know the Bentham stuff the way you can do. Well, there are some people who take pain or take pleasure in other people's pains or take pain in other people's pleasures. There are some people who see other people having fun and they're like, I don't like that. They shouldn't be having that fun. There are people who feel pain that way. Another way in which pleasures and pains are generated from other pleasures and pains. Time. We have the past. We have the future. You're not in the past anymore, right? And the future doesn't yet exist. And there's also the present. What do you call your going back to the past? Right, when I asked you about what pains you felt this last week, you were remembering, right? When you remember something painful, is that memory painful for you? Can be. Do you like to remember good times? Why? Because that pleasure that you felt back then, by remembering it, you are feeling it again or feeling something like it in the present. What about anticipating the future that hasn't yet happened? What are you guys hoping is going to be the case a year and a half from now, for some of you, a semester from now? You're going to walk across the stage, right? Down there in the valley, and your parents and other people are going to be there. You know, you got a boyfriend or girlfriend, hopefully he or she will be there. And you're going to feel really good, aren't you? You're also going to feel kind of hot and uncomfortable because you're not used to wearing academic robes all the time. But put that aside. Don't think about that. Just the good stuff. And then let's sweeten the deal. You're going to have a graduation party. Not only are you going to get to invite all your friends at the graduation party and do all the sort of things we tend to do at parties, there's going to be gifts. People are going to give you stuff. And you're going to hopefully like the stuff that they give you. There won't be any stupid, thoughtless gifts like knickknacks that you can't possibly use, you know, that sort of thing from Aunt so-and-so. Now, that doesn't exist yet. That could, in fact, not exist. You could drop out tomorrow. But you're already feeling a sense of pleasure about thinking about graduation, aren't you? And your career after that. What about pleasures that are in the present that you're not actually experiencing, that you can take? Imagination. When you're watching a movie, you don't actually think you're in the movie, do you? Some people do, but not you guys don't, right? You're watching, what's a recent movie that we could use as a reference point that you like? Yeah.
The Conjuring.
What's that?
The Conjuring.
The Conjuring. What's that about?
It's like a possession.
Yeah. House kind of. Okay. Oh, yeah. You don't want to be possessed, right? But you enjoy watching, you know, what happens and stuff like that. And now with horror movies, actually, we can start to get a little creeped out. And you know, especially if you watch it late at night by yourself in a house and there's, like, noises in the house, then you start getting a little bit, you know, I wonder what's over there. I better go check the light, that sort of thing. But you don't really think you're in it. You're engaging in the imagination. We enjoy that sort of thing. You can also feel pains like that. Imagine, you guys have all seen those commercials that everyone likes to turn off, including myself, with the Sarah McLachlan song and the animals in terrible conditions and all that. Now imagine that was made up. I'm not saying it is, but imagine that was just made up to make you feel bad and get you to do something. You are feeling pain by watching that, but it's over into something that doesn't exist. That's the capacity of the imagination. Pleasures and pains can be generated by all sorts of means. They don't always have to be physical, you know, things that we're in proximity with. They can be augmented, diminished by the situation that we're in, by our interpersonal relations, by the factor of time. These are all things that you would want to take into consideration when you're trying to carry out a utilitarian calculation. So, for example, if you know that people enjoy helping other people, then the act of helping other people doesn't just generate one pleasure, the pleasure for the person who's being helped. It might generate a pleasure for the other person. On the other hand, you know, we sometimes compare ourselves against each other. So let's say I give one student special attention. Like for instance, you know, you're in the military, right? I'm an ex-vet. So, you know, we have a natural connection. I should talk with you all the time and call upon you and treat you better than everybody else. That's going to make him happy. It's going to give him pleasure, and it's going to give me pleasure to do that. It's going to tick all the rest of you off, right? You're not going to be happy about that. You're going to feel a sense of envy or unfairness. Notice how, if we're doing utilitarian calculations, we have to take all of these things into consideration. How I orient myself in terms of pleasures and pains towards another person might affect somebody else, might increase his pleasure, might decrease it. You know, if you know that you're the object of charity and you don't like being the object of charity, maybe my benevolence actually ticks you off, even though I feel good about, you know, giving. This happens all the time. You know, don't patronize me. That's what they're objecting to. So it's important to keep all these into consideration.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.